Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Jennifer poops at parties? So she poops at parties, so and people know this?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? This sound horrible.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour during this break here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. Happy Friday, a flop shot Friday for most.
It's so deep. It's so long.
That's what they're doing out there with their drivers.
So we're doing right now. Rory's on the course. Positive vibes. Positive vibes.
Okay.
Good opening tee shot. Opening birdie. Birdie two. We're right back in the mix. Here we go. Feel the flow. Up and down. Circular. Round and round.
You and Joe Fisher are going to have a fist fight someday with Rory McIlroy.
He didn't respond to my text. He took a shot at Rory.
It was pretty mean.
He's a Skip Bayless golf guy. He's like, I'm on the fringes. Let me give hot takes. No other tournament matters other than majors. Like, oh, elevated events don't matter. Winning the Players doesn't matter.
Yeah, he didn't text us during winning the Players.
Didn't text me about that. Didn't text me during the Pebble Beach, one of the best fields of the year when he ran away with it and won. No thoughts on Rory then. Yeah. Only the first major of the year. And, of course, no thoughts when he's four under par. It doesn't come until he's, you know, double bogeying holes. Then all of a sudden you get the text. I took a shot at his O's. I said he's kind of like at Augusta what the O's are like in the playoffs. He just can't win. I didn't get a response. I don't know why. I didn't hear back from him there.
That cuts deep.
Could have been like, you know, the Augusta is like his Jerry Jones. You know, he just can't get over bad ownership, I guess. You know, his team's irrelevant.
Would have been funny if he just leaned into the heel and made an Oregon Duck note back to you.
As a Duck grad.
As an Oregon Duck.
What are you doing? I'm kicking my own ass.
Do you mind? The Trailblazers' final couple games. The regular season is winding down. We've got two games to go. We got the Warriors in town. Good morning, Steph Curry. Thank you for listening to the program.
Steve Kerr's big fan of the show.
Draymond Green should probably get tossed more than you do. So be thankful for that.
Without a doubt.
Are fans booing GP2 anymore when he comes
back? I think people don't like GP2.
Okay.
That's an all-time bad signing by the Trailblazers front office.
Which is so hard for Beaver fans because GP is beloved.
It's a weird place to be in for an Oregon State fan, and I felt that way for over a year. Yeah. It's like I used to root for him to be good everywhere, and now I don't want him to
Then the whole medical staff, cortisone stuff, they were forcing him to do X, Y. Like, that just was, what a scumbag.
They were filing, an investigation against us or whatever, and then that got dropped. And
hey, we got a lot of second-round picks for that, though. How about those second-round picks?
Doing as well.
You need some reason to go to Moda Center tonight as 14-point dogs.
I went on Blazers Reddit, which can be dangerous at times, and I saw...
What's that like these days?
Well, they're the greatest team of all time, don't you know?
I mean,
God forbid, well,
Dirt's of the world. It was either one of two directions.
Well, yeah, it tends to be on the internet that direction.
You know, Shaden Sharp is the next Michael Jordan, or there's no hope.
No, but I did see a post that somebody was like, Scoot post the All-Star break has been pretty bad.
He's been really
bad. His numbers have dropped from what they were.
He had a little brief stretch there, and then it didn't last very long, and then he got hurt.
Very similar to his play last year where he played well at the end. It's like, didn't play well at the start, then had this moment, and then didn't play well at the... Like, his good was a little in the middle there. Somebody was like, yeah, I could see. Hey, this is why you bring Ant back next year. And I went... I'm gonna get off the internet now. But it's the end of
Is there any defense of that next year on opening night if Anthony Simons is still on the team?
Yeah, you don't have a point guard that can shoot. You asked for a defense. I'm giving you a defense. Scoot cannot shoot.
So we're gonna
trust him to shoot.
Third overall pick off the bench or the seventh overall pick off the bench? Which one comes off the bench in year three or year four of their career?
Look, the Blazers won't say this. I think if Ant is back, they are telling you without telling you it was a bust pick.
Then why don't you trade him this offseason before the stock completely plummets?
If they bring him back, they are telling you that was a bust pick. And why you don't trade him? Because you can't. I don't know. Not many teams trade their third pick.
You can. You can do anything you want. You run an NBA organization.
I don't run the organization.
Anything is possible, as Kevin Garnett once told me.
Anyways, thank you for distracting me. Final two games of the regular season. This is it for your Trailblazers.
Fan Appreciation Weekend.
Yay! Go Blazer fans.
We got through a season.
Yes, we did it.
One, I'm fascinated to see if Tomani Camara is going to make All-NBA. couple national podcasts that I listen to.
All NBA or all defense?
All defense team. Thank you.
I was going to say.
Oof. That's a, yeah. That's I think a, you're a little a bit too much time on Reddit there. I mean, first team All NBA, right? It's got to be.
Better be in receiving votes category.
He's the next Scottie Pippen, dude. You don't not put that guy first team All NBA.
Anyways,
I digress.
A couple of national shows I listened to didn't have him on. He was mentioned, but they were like, yeah, sorry, all due respect. But they named all these players. I'm like, oh, those are all pretty good players. But then you kind of dabble in. You see some other people. Dame saying yesterday he should be all first-team defensive team.
It's a nice compliment.
That's a very nice compliment. Obviously, he's setting up his return to Portland. It's clearly what we're doing there.
2 years for that? Or maybe after next season?
Why couldn't it be next year?
We need another guard.
Milwaukee's going to fail in the playoffs. We all know that's happening.
I mean, has he got one more year left on his deal?
Two.
Because you're not bringing him back on that contract.
Well, you still, you've got
there's no chance you're trading back for that contract.
You got to clear some stuff.
You trade Jeremy.
There's no chance.
You trade DA.
That would be a horrific move.
And you trade Ant, no. And you still don't have a point guard that can shoot. I mean, there's some money that's open here.
I understand, but there's a lot of work the Crone Zone's got to do to clear up that space.
Anyways, my point is, he's saying he's first team all defensive team in the NBA. I texted our guy Golliver because he released his awards. The only one I disagreed with was Executive of the Year. Who would you guess Ben Golliver gave Executive of the Year to with his vote?
Oh.
Palinka?
You would be correct.
Yeah, I mean, he traded for Luka Doncic.
Well, I actually, my argument was
kind of a steal.
Nico weirdly just wanted to trade Luka to Rob Palinka. Palinka just answered the phone and said, hey, oh yeah, I'd be in. I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, that's all really Rob Palinka did.
I mean, you're not wrong, but he did get Luka Doncic in one of the biggest fleece trades of all time.
You're right. He also canceled a trade for a center, a position they clearly need going into the playoffs, and that dude's actually been amazing post the trade deadline if you go look at his numbers.
That is true.
But I digress. I asked him, who would you would Tumani Kamara make your all-defensive teams? And he said, yeah. So I'm very curious to see. Is Tumani Kamara, we got two more games to go. Is Tumani going to end up making an all-defensive team?
I think he deserves it the way that he played. The hard part that he has going for him is that he has been on national television once this year.
Yeah.
And so this is the thing
but
of like...
most of the voters are smart.
I'm not saying they're not smart, man.
If they dig
into
the stats and do some research, then yes.
League leader in charges. I think he's up there.
A lot of the metrics point to it, man. But at the end of the day, there's also the fact of like, you're not watching every game. And so you can dive into the numbers at the end of the season, but... is he going to lose out to somebody who's more top of mind because you just saw them play more often throughout the course of the year? And I think a lot of these voters are smart. They watch every game. Mm-hmm. But how many Blazer games has the average all-NBA voter watched this year?
I don't know.
Right? I have no clue. It's like you get this with the Heisman stuff, with late games on the West Coast. Like, I think most people are educated on the sport, but you're not watching every 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern kickoff time.
But Tim McMahon is somebody that you cite. So you read Tim McMahon of ESPN. I would assume you put him in a category of smart NBA.
How many Blazer games do you think Tim McMahon's watched this year?
Well, but this is my question. He goes to Mavericks games.
He does.
But he does a national NBA podcast with Windhorse, and he's on SportsCenter all the time. Do you trust Tim McMahon's vote in the all-defensive team categories?
I would like to if you dove into the numbers and you knew what you were talking about.
But do you trust that he is going to?
Yeah, I guess.
So I think there's a lot of voters like him for that league.
I mean, he should be an all-defensive player. He should be. The way that he played this year, he absolutely deserves it.
But then Zach Lowe didn't have him on. And I'm like, well, Zach Lowe's pretty damn smart.
I think it's a good reminder for Blazer fans, for as high in, you know, pie in the sky some people are on Blazer Reddit of the future of the organization. Mm-hmm. I think it's a simple reminder, like, you are literally an afterthought in the league. You are irrelevant.
Yeah, you are one of the most irrelevant franchises in the league.
I mean, you have been one of the worst teams in the NBA going on 4+ years now. The face of the franchise guy who brought attention and eyeballs to your team has now been gone for the second straight year. Like,
and you haven't had a guy to really replace
him
at all.
No, you were an afterthought. People talk about you draft time, people talk about you lottery time, and then you get little nuggets here or there throughout the course of the year when somebody gets hot or goes on a nice run.
Right.
That's it. And so you are literally an afterthought. And so for Zach Lowe, who I think is one of the smartest basketball minds out there, to not have him on, to me, this is the example of what I'm bringing up.
He mentioned him, but he just didn't have him on his two teams.
And if the Blazers had been on national TV and in more prominent games throughout the course of the year, there's not a ballot in the NBA that wouldn't have Kamara on an all-defensive team. It's just they're an afterthought organization right now.
Well, there's an event happening this weekend that I want to talk about, the final two games of the Blazers. I got some leftovers I want to get to as their season wraps up. So we'll get to that coming up next, Dirt and Sprague, on 1080 The Fan. Would you call into a radio show during your colonoscopy? We'll get to that coming up.
We'll take a call. If you're in the middle of getting an exam, they're poking and prodding down there, you call into our show.
You want me to do that? I got to schedule one this summer, so.
I think we get a live.
Would you really?
Let's get live.
Swag, what are your takes on the Chargers not signing a wide receiver?
Swinging a foul.
Using the whole fist there, Doc.
Lad McConkey's not enough!
Moon River.
We might have a Justin Rose bogey coming. Uh-oh.
Oh, man, it'll be 7-under. Crazy.
I actually really like Justin Rose.
I do,
too.
Why do you hate Justin Rose?
I just want it to be a tight leaderboard. I'm glad that he's the one that's ahead of the pack, because I don't think
he's
overcome
his demons, man.
Don't you want him to grab an ice cream cone to go do his post-game presser?
Seems like a delightful British fellow.
The Nike Hoop Summit is this weekend.
That it is.
I have tickets. Me and
our own Danny Morang is there, live on the scene.
What's not? Played till Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, I think he's been there all week. What are they doing
all
week?
He's there at practices.
Okay.
Sitting next to Danny Ainge.
What's up, Danny and Danny?
Danny and Danny.
Well, Danny and Danny!
The scene.
You want to start a podcast?
Scene.
Call it Danny and Danny.
No, I will say this.
Why was he here yesterday? I was confused because I thought he was out for the hoop summit and then he was here yesterday.
I don't know.
And then I was told he's out tomorrow.
Today, you mean?
Today,
yeah, thank you.
The biggest scene is when the USA team has its scrimmage. It's
today.
It's this evening or this afternoon, because all the NBA, it's one of the few times they can get a look at all these guys.
The international and local.
The international guys, all that sort of stuff. So when the teams have like their final scrimmage.
Yep.
And yeah, everybody is in there. It was funny one year because there were like three former Blazer GMs all there at like.
Hanging out, watching
hanging
it.
Out. Like, we had the Cho Chop, and we had...
The Cho Chop.
I forget who was there right before
Buchanan.
Neil. Yeah, it was just... And so, and they've got it all... They've got two sets of chairs all ringed around the main practice court at the practice facility. And then you've got all the big-time NBA draft, you know, people there from ESPN and whatever. So Pelton's there.
Yeah.
And it's
the big, it's one of the more underrated big events that we host every year on the Nike campus, is having that event, because everybody who's everybody in the NBA is in town watching AJ DeBanza right now.
The future, who says, I'm not getting $7 million to go to BYU. It's fake news, man.
Well, the funny thing about that is like, oh, what'd you get, 6.1? I'm sorry, we were off by a little bit. There
Let
is
me
a
go
kid.
Over and talk to Danny Ainge and see what he says.
Money's coming from him.
I'm very curious to watch. There's Jazzy Davidson's going to be on the women's select team.
Yes.
We're excited to watch
That'll
her.
That'll be fun.
But I'm also excited to see some of these dudes in this game. There is a kid, and I'm forgetting his name, but he's going to Baylor. You can look him up when you look up the Hoop Summit. He looks and plays exactly like Anthony Edwards. Like, it's almost Dylan Raiola, Patrick Mahomes creepy.
Just looks identical to
Dresses
him.
Dresses exactly like him, has his number, moves exactly like him.
That's a little weird and uncomfortable.
That's how old Anthony Edwards is, by the way. That makes us feel old.
Kids now look up to him.
There's now a high school player that's trying to copy exactly how he plays.
Oh, what is Anthony Edwards, like 24 years old?
But I am curious, Dirt, because the Blazers draft odds are going to shake out after this weekend. This event usually lines up with, all right, that's the next group in next year's draft.
Yeah, who are we tanking for next year? Who's
I mean, DeBanza would be the kid.
Is that who we're resetting the tank for?
Yeah, I mean, he is, right now, according to every, you know, draft, he might be Cooper Flag level.
He's the number one prodigy kid.
The number one, yeah, dude, like, from the U.S., he's going to go to BYU next year, so we'll see him for one season, but I just, where are they going to be at the end of the weekend in the draft lottery, and what are we going to remember about this non-playoff season?
I think the answer to that question will all depend on what happens this offseason. If you end up with the luckiest ping pong ball bounce that you've had since Greg Oden in 2007.
I think it's a ping pong ball.
What did I say?
I think you called it a paul.
A ping pong ball?
Yeah, you PPP.
A lot of P's. There's too many P's in there. I got a PPP loan.
It's okay, you don't have to pay it back.
Ping pong ball. If you end up with one of those lucky bounces like you did in 2007, it'll be the year that you just had will be like a chuckleback of like, man, that was really lucky. Finally, the balls bounce in our direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you end up slipping, if you end up drafting right where you're at, I have said this before and I will say it again. I think it will go down as one of the biggest missed opportunities in the history of the organization. A year where you have So many great young pieces. So many things to be proud of. We just got done doing a segment about Kamara and how he should be all defense. Mm-hmm. You've seen flashes from Sharp, although wildly inconsistent at times, and for some reason coming off the bench in his third year in the NBA. He's shown you flashes of like, all right, there's a player there. Klingon has showed you flashes. Denny Avdija has looked like an all-NBA kind of guy in the last month and a half of the season. There are great little points that you can look at and say the future is bright, but the biggest missing ingredient is the thing that you cannot find. And if you end up drafting 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th in this NBA, in this summer's NBA draft, I don't think you're going to find that guy, and I think you're literally the same team next year, plus or minus 3 or 4 wins. Maybe you're right around 500. The right. only way out of this pathway was what they should have decided to do this year, and that was get rid of the vets, play all your young cats, and give yourself a top five odd to get one of the elite players in this draft. And so unless you get the luckiest break you've had in nearly 20 years, I will remember it as a massive missed opportunity.
So it's all about where the balls bounce.
All about where the balls bounce for me.
I was looking at the West last night because Minnesota was so good, and I'm just asking myself, honestly, as a basketball fan who hopes Portland is relevant again.
Hey, Anthony Edwards, number one overall pick. Funny how that works.
He's pretty good. Phoenix, Memphis. I'm going to throw this team in there, and you're not going to agree, but Denver and Dallas are four very fascinating offseason teams.
Absolutely.
Phoenix might hire a Chauncey Billups, and they might trade a Kevin Durant, as Windhorst says yesterday, just to clear book stuff and not for actual maximum value. So we'll see what that is, because I don't know if I should trust Phoenix at all. Memphis, Ja didn't have a good year.
Nope.
He cannot shoot the basketball very well. I don't know where they're going, if it's going to be this Finnish coach or they're going to go somewhere else. Kind of question marks about Memphis. Denver's roster's not very good. It does have Jokic, and it's got Murray when healthy. But are they trading Porter? What's their bench going to be? Mm-hmm. Are those Watsons and Browns going to continue to be good young players for them? Aaron Gordon's getting older. And Dallas is basically going to be without Kyrie all of next year.
Yeah.
He'll come out at the end of the year. They have Anthony Davis,
who is also unreliable health-wise.
And they've got an old Klay Thompson. Right. And then, like, there's just a bunch of, you know, role guys around that. So, like, there's four teams just right there in the West. And maybe you don't count Denver, and I don't blame you for that because it's Jokic. But still, they've been toying with the 8-seed stuff, too. So there's four right there that if, like, I'm just curious to see what those off seasons are paired with what happened in the draft lottery for the Blazers, paired with the question marks of, what will they be? Because no matter how people want to spin it, I largely think you're going to end up being right here. Kamara, I'll remember the development.
Yeah.
Denny, I'll remember he had a good season. Other than that, it's been very middle of the road, not good. And if they don't bounce their way, it's going to be a like, oh man, are we going to look back and say that draft was so much better than the year prior to it?
You missed your opportunity to land the game changer.
Well, why did you care so much about trying to get Alex Saar, but you didn't care as much about Cooper Flagg?
You were able to completely empty the tank out in the last couple of seasons in which the draft was not this. Wembanyama was different. That was a draft that we all knew. But this past year's draft, we all knew going in, not a lot of talent there. If you find a starter,
the number one pick is not going to be the rookie of the year, which isn't like groundbreaking in that category.
Not a shocking thing.
But he's, you know, how many games have people watched of Zachary Richardson?
Not a lot, Bob. Not a lot.
Alex Saar, the number two pick in that draft. How many games you watch of Alex Saar when they're not playing the Blazers?
Not a lot. I think we said if you just find a decent starter in that draft in the top 10, you had a successful draft.
The Spurs found Castle.
They did.
Good.
And you're hoping that Klingon turns into that, right? Of like, hey, can he be a 10-10, a 12-12? Can you be that? Be a good defensive guy?
30 minutes a night.
30 minutes a night, block a couple of shots, have some putbacks. Never going to be a dominant offensive player, but play some defense, grab some rebounds. Then you feel like you got success in that draft. That's not this year's draft. This was the draft to hopefully go find a star, and it was the year to go find a star. And I think if you would have done that with all these other little tangible things around it, I know your odds were never, you were never going to catch Utah, you were never going to catch Washington, and you were never going to catch Charlotte.
Sure.
With the year that Denny had, but the year that Kamari had, but you were fifth last year, and that's not too much to ask. You're likely going to finish ninth. There's still an outside shot that you could finish eighth. The odds do jump massively from ninth to eighth, so let's all root for the San Antonio Spurs to win their games and the Blazers to lose their games.
If the Lakers lock up the 3 seed before Sunday,
playing nobody on Sunday.
They will play nobody.
The Warriors will play people tonight.
Yeah, because they have to play to stay in the six.
So Sunday's game, it might end up coming down to Sunday's game, depending on, again, what happens with San Antonio in the final two games of the regular season.
To my knowledge, the Warriors are playing everybody. The funny thing is now, do the Warriors look at the stands and go, do we want to play LeBron and Luka, or do we want to play the Rockets?
Do you want to risk the play-in, though?
Physically manhandled them in Golden State last week.
And I know they feel confident, but do you want to risk the play-in? Because you're in the play. If you're the seventh seed, you got to get through seventh seed.
You could be the eighth seed.
You could lose that game, one game. Somebody has an off night, and all of a sudden you're playing OKC in the first round. I think they're going to fight tonight.
Yeah.
And so tonight will be a loss.
To the Spurs, who didn't play.
You're right.
Anybody.
They're going to play tonight.
Tonight will be an L. Sunday, that's the big caveat. And if you find a way to win that game and the Spurs win too, and you would have had a chance for the eighth overall pick, ooh, buddy, somebody's not going to be in a good mood on Monday.
Mr. Angry Pants will be
I think
back.
Joe Cronin's going to be more upset than I would be. For the love of God, I would hope he would be more upset
than I would. He should be angry right now. Yeah, given
is it Angry Pants or Grouchy Trousers?
Grouchy Trousers?
I think that's...
I'm cool with that.
I think if we were to give Grouchy Trousers, I picture more Joe Cronin wearing Grouchy Trousers.
I mean, I think the other...
That's Angry Pants.
Angry Pants? Yeah. I'm cool with Angry Pants. Either one I'm fine with. Yeah. What's going to happen with Chauncey? That whole thing, too, is still looming.
I think it's over.
I do, too, but...
I tend to lean in.
Do you find out right after the game? Do they wait a week? How long do we wait
again,
to announce that?
I know it's an easy sell, but Sunday.
It's like, dude, their exit interviews are after the game Sunday, and Chauncey's going to be asked questions
Let's hold this for Monday.
I'm going
to
work for Amazon after the season, or I'm going to go coach the Suns. Like, we're going
to deliver packages.
Yeah. Monday will be interesting.
Hold this for Monday. Let's see if this take ages poorly or perfectly. Okay? We'll play the game. Poorly or perfectly? Chauncey Billups, when asked about the future, man, I don't know. The season just ended. There's a lot that went into this season, a lot of growth, a lot of good things. So we'll talk, me and Joe, and we'll see what the future will hold. Let's see if that is basically what the answer is to the question.
Yeah, pull that
clip. A non-answer answer. What I just said, paraphrasing, is it going to basically be what Chauncey says when we replay it come Monday? Because Sunday night, we're going to have to pull audio for the show.
We will watch the exit interviews.
There's going to be the exit interviews. I will be tuned into that. And so I think that's the direction it goes, because it'd be really wild. Could be for the show, but it'd be really wild if they're like, we're parting ways. See you later. Thank you for everything.
Statement immediately after the game. He doesn't even do his exit interview. Like, yeah, don't bother, man. We all know you're not going
to
be back.
But I tend to think that he is gone. And I don't know where the lottery's going to end up, because that's happening in May. But those four teams, I mean, if you want some optimism, not that I need to sell it to you because you're not going to take it. But like, if I was to sell you optimism, it is, what is Dallas next year without largely Kyrie?
Mm-hmm.
Denver's coaching and bench situation is fascinating. Memphis is like, what are they? And then Phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix is going to trade Kevin. Like, Kevin Durant's going to
be gone
off the Suns. And not that he helped them all that much. He had a good year. But
no, if they were smart, they blow it all up. But we'll see what they end up
doing.
But
they don't appear to want to blow it all up. So what is Phoenix next year with an impatient owner who has not made good decisions?
Sure. You're not wrong in any of this. What I would add, though, is that you could have a couple of teams that slip behind you. Sacramento, you know, the handful of teams you look at in the West. You're just like, I don't know what you're going to quite do next year. I still think, though, there's a ceiling on what you can accomplish. So you can improve. I wouldn't be shocked at all if you're in the play-in next year.
Would you be shocked if they were a playoff?
Yeah, I would. If you're top six in the West next year, I'd be genuinely shocked. Mm. But if you're in that 8, 9, 10 range and you're in a play-in situation, I mean, you're, again, literally in the spot that you don't want to be in. You're not good enough. You're not bad enough. You're right in no man's land again next year, and it'd be a bit of a disaster.
I just wanted to see. So Golden State is the sixth seed.
Currently,
right
yes.
now, they're 47 and 33. The 10 seed is 38 and 42.
Yeah.
So, yeah, difference of...
There's a big gap there.
About 9 games.
Big gap there. That's a 14-game jump to get into the top six likely next year.
Well, we'll see what happens with the exit interviews and the final couple games for your Portland Trail Blazers. And, you know, for those going to the Nike Hoop Summit this weekend, you get to see the future stars that are going to be in the NBA. And for those that are going to the women's game, which I'd highly promote, the WNBA, and in college. A lot of stars out there. We have a lot more to get into. We will talk with our boss and wish him farewell and goodbye at 8:30. Jeff Sacramento is going to be on the radio program.
I will remember you.
Till we see you again.
Next Friday, yeah. Going away party.
Say
next
the
week.
Other, yeah. You know, what the real words to that are. But coming up next, we have a lot to get into. Would you ever call a radio show live during a colonoscopy? Swag might be doing this soon. We'll get to that. We got audio. We got other sports and Masters update. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Should have bounced back right here with Don't Call to Come Back. Burning.
I mean,
it's a birdie on. It's a birdie on two for Rory McIlroy. Don't look now. Don't look now. I'm holding all those receipts.
Look, we know Justin Rose is going to come back to the field.
He's coming back to the field.
No, in his career at Masters, round one, he's like minus 29. Round two, he's plus 15.
Five different times he has held the solo lead after round one. He has more rounds with a lead or share of the lead without a green jacket than anybody in Masters history. He's done this before.
He's coming back to the field today.
He's an older gentleman.
Don't you worry.
He gets a little tight.
Let's be careful with the word older.
He's not. He's established, more established on the PGA Tour.
I mean, swag, you're Fred Couples.
Here he comes. Don't gotta come back.
No, Freddie's 12 years older than I am.
Let's go. Up and down. Feel the flow. Round
Isn't
and round.
Like
circular.
He's 65.
Oh, Freddie's up there. Yeah, Freddie's nearing the end. So birdie on two. We'll give you a Masters update. I got some other stuff in my Masters notes, including somebody peeing in Ray's Creek yesterday we have not talked about.
I missed this.
And Ronald McDonald was on the course, so we got a lot still to get to.
How does anybody clap for that dude?
I did want to, just
likable
before I play this
the
fun
Spanish
with audio.
Rat.
The Spanish rat. I know. That was an
awful nickname.
Talk about the things that you...
He looks like a rat.
Remember? The year that I was there, he carded one of the highest scores ever on 15. That's when he went 10 cup on 15.
Yes.
Remember that?
It was
opening round, he took like an 11, and he hit like three straight balls in the water on 15. And we happened to be walking around the green. We're like, it's Sergio. Saw the entire thing. You're like, oh, my God, he did it. And then he did it again. And then he did it again.
What was the general like reaction buzz of
just
like...
Just a gasp of like, what? Like, I think we were just shocked that he did it three straight times.
But were people happy?
Yeah, people were happy. Yeah. Nobody likes Sergio Garcia. Nobody's ever liked Sergio Garcia. Yeah. Back in his early days when he would twitch 8,000 times before he hit a ball.
Wow. God, that's swagger. Brian Harmon, though.
Swing the damn golf club.
Where's Brian Harmon, by the way?
Who the hell knows, right?
He was like plus three or something.
Yeah, get him out of here. Nobody wants to see Brian Harmon win
another
major. Before I get to my fun with audio, I hovered my mic over it and wanted to appreciate it one more time.
Well, I've been... doing my hardest to get it over the green. Been practicing as hard as I can. Just not reaching it this year, but I'm just trying my hardest.
Frankie Fleetwood, I'm putting my futures ticket in. Well, he's probably, 10 years old, I would guess?
I think he's 7 or 8.
7 or 8?
So you got about 10 years.
Let's go 2047 Masters champion. I'm going to go find those odds, and we're going to get Frankie Fleetwood.
Does he get one before his dad?
Yeah, I think he does. His dad's never won, man. He's never won.
That's going to be Chauncey on Sunday. He's just, I give it my all. Just practice hard.
Practice hard, and next year we'll get it.
You know what's funny? I saw that actual video on Instagram yesterday.
Like, the Frankie Fleetwood video?
Yeah. God. Just the most adorable
Cute little bastard, is he not?
And like, I'm just trying my hardest, and you're just like, he's so trying your hardest.
I can't wait.
You just
want to
give him a hug. You just want to bear
ball
hug him.
Game starts speaking, and Dirt's already working on his post-game interviews.
You better raise this kid with an accent. I'll tell you that.
Get him an
right
Irish
accent.
He'd be way cooler with an Irish accent.
That or a Southern accent.
He's currently speaking his own language.
Canadian?
He will not shut up, but
you
it's a lot
Canadian
of like,
accent?
Dude, are you speaking Japanese right now? Like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. You're just yelling. This is fun. Have you guys ever had a colonoscopy?
No, I have to get one this summer.
Is this your first colonoscopy?
Yeah.
You've never had one before?
Never had one.
When did they recommend you start doing it?
Several years ago.
Oh, okay. So you're late. You're late on your checking your polyps?
There's no other indicators that there's an issue, so...
I don't think there usually is down in that region. That's why you get
a
colonoscopy.
Did you examine yourself first?
You stick a finger in there?
Yeah. Why do you think that? You've checked it out.
Oh, man.
It's the whole... So 50 is when you're supposed to start? I didn't know if we moved the age up.
I think they moved
it
to actually 45.
45?
Now.
So it's right around the corner for us. Your Sprague's almost there. He's like 44 right now. So pretty soon, they're going to be checking you out. Look.
Wow. Everybody's just strays this morning.
You don't know what me and my wife do. Who's to say I haven't been checked?
That's true.
Out?
Maybe she checks you on a weekly basis. I don't know what the Sprague is. It is a freaky Friday.
All right, Stifler.
It is a freaky Friday.
Hey, hello. How's your neighbor?
Can you find the prostate? This happened on the Feinbaum Show yesterday. Yes.
You're about to get freaky at night? Do you think about it?
The Feinbaum Show exists throughout the course of the offseason. There is no offseason for Paul Feinbaum. There's actually something in college football I wanted to talk about. We'll get to that here in a moment because it's kind of a funny headline. And I don't think if I were the school, I'd say, yeah, see you later. Like, no, good riddance. Anyways. This was on Feinbaum yesterday. You got to call in. When you're going to be on one of these shows, you call in, and then you get put in a queue. You got to wait on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And so Slammer called in. Now, I've never heard Slammer on the phone, but I'm curious what Slammer's football takes are.
A regular caller to the program.
A regular caller into Feinbaum. Slammer's like, I got to get my takes on Alabama football in, but I'm just going to put it on hold. So he's waiting on hold. Feinbaum calls on Slammer, and this proceeds to happen.
Slammer is up next.
I lost about 40 pounds, and...
I was doing real good.
Slammer is
and
next.
I just got into a deal where I just started going and eating.
Slammer
the
is next.
Late cereal,
okay.
And it just caught up with me again.
Yeah. Okay,
so Slammer, are you there?
What color is your bowel movement?
Normal.
What's normal?
Brown.
Okay. Nothing else.
I think we've unfortunately tuned into a colonoscopy live on the air there. We'll take a short break here.
Colonoscopy live on the air with Slammer. I'm really bummed we didn't get Slammer's Alabama football takes. I wanted to know what he thinks about their quarterback battle this spring.
I mean,
who's going to be is it the front runner? Who, you know, who's going to win that job? A lot of questions.
I think you got to go Howard Stern very easily, number one of greatest call-in radio programs to ever exist.
Yeah.
I think he might have the second
greatest.
You think
he's number two?
Yeah. In terms of the callers, the nicknames, the takes they give.
So I could wish my boot right up your ass.
I mean,
the honeymoon's over.
I just don't think there's been a radio show like it
that provides this level of audio gold.
No.
On a regular basis.
Like, go watch. If you don't, even if you don't like
I'm
Paul Feinbaum,
because
he's Mr. SEC, and if you're not the SEC, you're not good enough. He has takes that I'm like, dude, come on. But, like, I do watch this show. Not every day, but I watch it pretty regularly during the football season, and just every single moment that you tune into that show, you get a
call. Wake the hell up.
Just like that.
You don't lose the Vanderbilt.
Or you get like an update. Oh, Bubba Fry has died.
R.I.P. Bubba Fry.
His GoFundMe's this, Paul.
Andy is my daddy.
We love Bubba Fry, and that's really sad. We'll have to send flowers. Like, he sends flowers to these people.
He does. It's a community down there, man. People helping people. So, colonoscopy call. Are we going to get this with Swag this summer in the middle of his colonoscopy?
Would you say your color is normal?
Live on the air? You got a normal color?
Yeah.
Okay. You like your color brown?
It's brown.
It's a good shade? That's good.
It's poo brown. What do you want?
Good morning.
Hope you're eating breakfast right now. Somebody said you're supposed to at 45 swag. Generation X is here, unfortunately.
I understand.
I got my first one last year, a year late. It's a lot less worse than you think it is. The prep is the worst part.
Yeah, the prep's the worst part, which
was. So why have you been putting it off for 8 years?
Somebody said, I've had two colonoscopies. You get knocked out during the actual procedure. I only remember being rolled into the room and then rolled out.
Yeah,
just
they knock you out
during the procedure.
Yeah, they knock you out.
I figured there was some sort of numbing agent. But
they need all the muscles to relax.
I got
to
be honest with you, don't like that at all.
You don't want to be knocked out.
All right, we don't have enough time to answer this.
A couple of follow up questions I have here.
I could get into a big thing, and I won't name names or places.
You're more worried about anesthesia.
Yeah,
than
I just had a relative go in for a routine,
routine procedure,
the most routine of procedures you could possibly have.
Yeah.
Woke up in the middle of the procedure,
oops,
but could not indicate in any way
that
he was awake. Only had eyes and could not move tongue, mouth.
Did they not notice his eyes were open?
Nope.
Didn't notice. Huh?
They eventually noticed and figured out, oh my God, this has been happening.
This is not good.
And like, there's a whole thing going on right now behind the scenes, but like, I just don't want to be in that.
I tend to agree with you there. How long does it take? Like, how long is that prod up there?
I don't think it takes very long.
Give me a towel.
Relatively quickly, right? I'll bite down. I think I'm in your camp here.
Although I think it goes up there pretty far.
I think it's a little bit deeper than
A
little bit deeper than that.
All the muscles need to be relaxed.
So what?
That's the hardest part.
Why have you been putting it off?
I just procrastinating.
Because?
Just, I don't like going to the doctor.
You got to check yourself out, man.
I understand this.
All right. Yeah. And that procedure, I think, is a little different
for you.
You
were stubborn as a mule, you know that?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you like mayonnaise. So.
We did find that out today. He's pro-mayonnaise. Shocking development. So there we go. We had a call from a colonoscopy. One other storyline in college football I want to get to, and this is the new trend that we're going to have.
Is this the rumor stuff?
This is a rumor thing.
From the SEC?
From the SEC that came out yesterday.
Let's talk about
it. And if I'm the school, I'm like, hit the open market, buddy. See what you can get. I would, but I don't know if you guys feel. We'll get to that coming up next on 1080 The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no. We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online Crunch.com. We'll get to a Masters update coming up top of the hour. A few storylines we haven't talked about from yesterday. And also the irrational confidence of one Jason Swigard that needs to be discussed.
It's just shocking of all the people for this to come from.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty not that confident in my golf game, although I did play pretty good in my first round since September on Saturday.
You're the second best golfer at the station.
Yes. Correct? I feel very good in that standing and that stature. I'm no Isaac Robb. But
I'm not close. Really sure it's close who would even be close to second.
And I couldn't even come close to what Swag thinks he could do. So we'll talk about that coming up in the final hour. By the way, our boss is going to hop on at 8:30. So it's his last day. He's in.
Yep. He's in before 8 a.m.
He's in before 8 a.m. on his last day of work.
Getting ready for a victory lap today, baby.
That he is.
Which one of us has he hated the most during our
journey? That's a great question.
It's easily me.
Who did he despise the most?
I have a countdown clock of not complaining on
you
the
do.
Air. It is easily me.
That is true.
But also, you're quietly annoying.
I'm quietly annoying. I'm a pest. I can be a pest behind the scenes.
You can.
This came out yesterday, and I kind of chuckled when I saw it, and I'm wondering what your reaction would be if you were the school. So we all know that these college athletes and college football players in particular are getting paid. And the transfer portal is open in basketball right now. Guys are getting paid up the yin-yang, right? One of the first biggest deals that we talked about in this space was for Nico Iamaliava.
Yep. Close. That's pretty close.
And the deal that he signed to go to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It was just a massive contract, a massive NIL deal. Everybody got, he got paid how much? It's wild, right? He redshirts as a freshman, doesn't play a ton. He plays the bowl game. Last year, they hand him the reins. There was a report that came out yesterday. I think Pete Nackos had this of On3 was the first to have it. That Nico and Tennessee are currently in active contract negotiations ahead of the 2025 season. This is the world we live in now, where players announce, I've re-signed my deal, or I'm coming back on a new contract. And it is unclear if the negotiations will impact whether he enters the spring transfer portal. So I don't know if Tennessee's asking him to take a pay cut. I don't know if he's asking for more money. He was a redshirt freshman last year that I thought was fine, but it didn't blow my socks off when I watched him.
Mm-hmm.
Your reaction to this, and how would you handle it if you were Tennessee, if he's asking for more money?
Asking for more money, negotiations are tricky. I don't think they're always as cut and dry as I'm leaving if I don't get this amount. So I still think he could be the quarterback for them. My reaction to this is unsurprised, and I would tell you I've been more surprised by the other side of this.
Mm.
I just don't understand the world we live in where you're maybe the best at your position or one of the top and you're not hitting the portal every year.
Maximize value.
Jeremiah Smith could be a Buckeye for 3 years. He should be in the portal every year getting the biggest offer and taking it no matter where it is. And so if Nico does this and Tennessee says, thanks, bye-bye, we're not paying. Somebody will pay him.
Somebody will pay him.
He was just in a playoff. He had a really good season for his second year as a starter.
He was a redshirt freshman, first year as a starter.
First year as a starter,
19 touchdowns, five picks.
That's a good year. Mm-hmm. You'd be happy with that result, and they made the playoff. So you're just banking on the improvement of, you know, getting better. I just don't know why athletes haven't done this more. And I know agents are gross in college far more than they are in the pros, and people don't like them. If I was a college agent, I would charge less on my percentage cuts because it's really disgusting the percentage cuts these guys are getting.
Yeah, it is.
I would also be telling my client, you should be in the portal and getting the biggest offer every year.
Every year.
And I don't know why more players don't do it.
Yeah, I saw some takes from Tennessee fan who basically said, is he worth more money? And to your point, somebody will pay him if he enters the portal. Somebody's going to go pick him up. He was a redshirt freshman, so I want to be fair to him of like, I'm not asking you to come in and win a Heisman Trophy your first year as a starter in college football. But there were a lot of games and moments where I would argue Tennessee won. Not because of him. He just was the quarterback for the team. They were good defensively. They could run one of the best rushing offenses in the country last year. So you're banking on the improvement of him, and maybe you're willing to gamble on that and pay him more money. He already had one of the bigger deals that had ever been reported in the NIL space.
We also don't know how true this is.
We don't know how much he's going to get and how much he's negotiating for.
On3 had the reporting.
On3 had the
mistaken.
Reporting, yes.
And I'm not saying they're not trustworthy. There's a lot of people there that I follow and I like, but some of this is just rumor mill stuff, man.
Very true. So that's a report out of Tennessee.
Why wouldn't you pay him? Who's your quarterback?
I don't know what the rest of their quarterback situation looks like. I don't know if they have any
you
other
take
guys
that
on
gamble
their roster.
Over the guy who just got you to the playoff? See, with Heupel another year?
Yeah, I don't look at him and say he got me to the playoff. They got to the playoff. I didn't ever. He to me was not the reason that they got there. They got there because they had a pretty good roster. They're good defensively, and I'm not saying he was terrible in every game. But I thought he was pretty bad in the Alabama game. They won in spite of him.
So if Dante Moore has the same similar season,
19 touchdowns,
playoff,
5 picks, and he wants to renegotiate,
moving on.
Yeah, if it's 19 touchdowns, 5 picks next year, if Dante Moore has 19 touchdowns, 5 picks, what's the takeaway at the end of the season?
Well, it wasn't the most amazing season. It's clearly been a drop off from the previous two. But I think you would have a position actually if
you go 9-3, maybe you sneak in.
See, I if you're 10-2 and make the playoff, I think you have a different position on this.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be curious. I'll be curious to see how this one works out. I was not wowed by him, but I'm trying to be fair. He was a redshirt. Like, he's young. He has the ability to get better.
Dante Moore was his first year. This is his first year.
No doubt about it. These guys have the room to get better, and so I'll be curious to see how it works out for Tennessee. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.95 a month. Or $9.99 a month, excuse me. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Our boss is going to hop in at 8:30. We'll get you set for the weekend in sports. But I want to start with some Masters takeaways from yesterday that we haven't talked about yet, and a take from Jason Swigard that it needs to be discussed. And we'll start the final hour there next on The Fan.